This is the Transmission Times with a special episode where artists are telling their pandemic stories.
It was a Thursday, I believe, March 12th, and we were doing the Bartok Concerto for orchestra, and I remember that because the last time we played that piece about 10 years ago, we never finished it either. This year, we had our Thursday concert, and I knew at the break, people were just looking at their phones in disbelief. And, you know, we were seeing like every orchestra start to realize the situation and shut down. So it came as no surprise then on that Friday morning, we got an email and all of our executive directors and conductors all agreed that we should cease.
I'm a musician, a guitarist, songwriter, and I perform with my husband, Joe. We've spent our life making music and touring 40,000, 50,000 miles on our car a year, you know, playing 3 and 4 shows a week down to nothing. So it's been devastating. It's economically and emotionally, and it's really been hard.
I've been a potter since 1999. I have discovered that I'm oddly suited for pandemic times, much more so than regular times. So where I live, my studio in my house here in Rock Bluffs was designed really to operate largely unchanged, regardless of what's going on off of my property. I live off grid and I produce most of my own food. I produce all my own power via solar. I haul water out of the well with a bucket, and I have an outhouse. So in a way, it's allowed me to live more the way that I want to live than in normal times. I have to leave here a lot less. I have a lot more cultural support for leaving here a lot less. And it's easier for me to sell my work and for me to reach people because everybody's home and paying attention and on the internet.
I'm a painter living in Corvallis, Oregon. I usually have a lot of alone time in my studio to really think and contemplate what I'm working on. And because our little pod of family has all formed in our little house here, we have anywhere from 5 to 7 people living here. And this is where my studio is. And people are working and schooling from home right now. It's still a lot of chaos and a lot of interactions, whereas I would have a lot more time alone, which is kind of ironic, but it's made it harder for me to really concentrate on my work.
I'm a violinist in the Sarasota Orchestra. Well, myself, I was going down a rabbit hole slowly. I just had some really dark, dark days, and I'm not that kind of person at all. Anyone who knows me and just knowing myself, I really like to have a smile on my face, and I am pretty jovial all the time, pretty positive. And so when I wasn't feeling quite right, and I had to actually accept and realize in myself that, you know, maybe I am somewhat depressed over all of this. And, you know, not having that purpose and meaning in your life of performing music for an appreciative audience, that is huge.
I'm a violist and a filmmaker in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm struggling to play my instrument without performances on a weekly basis. It's been surprisingly difficult to stay motivated to actually practice.
So I took to the streets literally and would play outside in my front yard.
One, two.
And it was something I always dreamed of doing in a non-pandemic way, but I had all these tunes in my head and I wanted to kind of stay fresh and on top of it. And I was so frustrated and didn't know how else to make myself feel good. And then I started to play and other people felt better. And I know it's so cliche, but making the people just walking by in a daze as well in my neighborhood. And they were like, hey, that sounds great. And they didn't even know, like, my neighbors don't really realize what I do for a living and what Alan does for a living, that we are full-time musicians. And so I had neighbors bringing down their moms in wheelchairs, and of course, you know, people walking their dogs, they would stop by and say something.
I do have a solo engagement coming up. One chamber group that I work with is doing virtual concerts, so where I'm filming them and performing, which is another kind of unique challenge, but I'm doing some solo work for that, which is getting the dust blown off of my instrument and some lubrication in my finger joints, so that's been nice.
From Little Rock, Arkansas, and I am speaking as a classically trained cellist. Teaching has also moved online, which anyone will tell you is an utterly subpar experience. It is required that we get much more specific and detailed in our instructions, as we rely so much on physical proximity and physical contact in order to best convey the mechanics of playing an instrument.
I live in New York City, and I'm an actor and writer and a teacher and tour guide. And like everyone, just getting used to doing everything virtually. And in many ways, it's easier. But I think something that's really important is to note that it's not theater. Theater needs to be live. So the same way that, like, a picture of a sunset is not a sunset, virtual removed theater over a technological divide is not theater. It's just not, even if it's happening in real time.
I am a multidisciplinary artist and writer. I just believe so profoundly in the positive impacts of experiencing live performance together, both as the performer and as the audience, and the connection and the engagement with each other. You just can't replicate the communal experience of live performance.
Shrink, they said. Be small and soft, full of sugar and spice and everything nice. Smile pretty. Avoid the messiness of dirt. This is what we were told. Know your place.
You cannot replicate the physiological response that we have with each other when we are in the same place and at the same time experiencing the same emotional arc. The shared empathy, the shared understanding, the shared awakenings, the shared sorrows and griefs, the shared joys in real time, in real space together.
The way we broke free with Susan B. and all the others who lined up, signed up, showed up, so that in 1920 women, we were 8 million strong in election one. 8 million strong at the polls.
When science tells us that physiologically we respond collectively, to the point that it's said that an audience's heart rate can get in sync with one another when you experience something profoundly emotionally impactful together, that even through an intermission, an audience's heart rate stays generally the same. I can't deny that power.
Singing, the mothers, the wives, the daughters, let us lead. We balance the soft, rounded curves of compassion with the jagged, flamed fire of power and passion.
One day when I had scheduled an exact time to live stream a monologue that I'd written, I was so busy that day and I had all this stuff going on, and then I realized I had to do it in like 30 minutes and I had to, you know, set all these books up on my desk and then put my laptop on because I still haven't bought a tripod, and I'm, you know, trying, like, scrambling to do it and, like, make sure I know my lines. And I had a few minutes and I was outside running through my lines, and I live across from this park in Harlem, and I spotted two teenagers hanging out in the park, and I said, well, you know what? And I need an audience. And I ran in. I said, hey, guys, do you mind if I just do this monologue for you? I'm an actor, blah, blah, blah.
Good evening. Welcome to Per Se. Welcome to Brooklyn Social. Welcome to Applebee's 125th. Welcome to Sleepy's, the Masters Professionals. Welcome to the House of Relief. Come in and relieve yourselves.
And I did it for him, and you know, it's full of all these different dialects and accents and characters that I have written, and they loved it, and you know, they just watched me with their masks on, and you know, I thanked them, and then I went and did it for the virtual world.
Good afternoon, citizens of the universe. May I please trouble you for a brief moment? I am a U.S. Army veteran. And what you may not know as you go about your lives is that the U.S. Army uses its soldiers like toilet paper. It gets what it needs from us, and then it throws us away.
So, you know, we're all in this together, and it's, you know, it's good to have some sort of serendipitous comedic moments like that.
I'm a puppeteer and the managing director of Eulenspiegel Puppet Theater in West Liberty, Iowa. We figured, we can't tour. We may as well build some new puppet shows. So we created three new shows since mid-March. Two of them were shows that we would have done anyway that were already in the works, but the third one was completely influenced by the pandemic. We decided to create a drive-in puppet show because it was the one way that we could think of that we could still keep performing for live audiences. We wrote a story based on reports of what animals have been up to during lockdown, such as the alligator they spotted in a deserted shopping mall in Myrtle Beach, and the penguins that were roaming the art museums and the zoos and stuff like that. Good evening, ladies and jelly beans. The story is called Shenanigans. Animals in charge.
This place is deserted.
No, where is everybody? I thought humans lived here.
Easily. This place is deserted.
So?
So look at all this empty space.
Yeah?
Well, we could have some fun.
What are you thinking? This is a story that we wouldn't have even thought of doing without the pandemic, and a venue that we wouldn't have thought of without the pandemic. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Here we go, 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 down the road, road, road. And we hope our engine don't explode, explode, explode. Doesn't matter where, we'll know when we're there, while the humans stay in their abode.
I guess that's how it has affected my work, in that the things that I've been talking about for years and years and years all of a sudden are pertinent, right? I wrote a book that is about environmental philosophy, and I started reading that book during the first lockdown, reading it live online. June 11, 2017. For the first time, I could see no other life, just a vast desert of sky and sea. Sure, there was life, but I couldn't perceive it. That book was about a trip that I took across the Pacific on a container ship from Philly to Sydney, Australia. And the process that I was going through and finding myself in an entirely new territory with none of the systems that I had grown accustomed to and having to create new systems was almost identical to the thing that I was witnessing most people going through, trying to develop new systems and a new way of life in a completely different world. It felt a lot like 9/11, to tell you the truth. Right after 9/11 happened, I had the same thought that, like, oh, geez, we're in a new world and nobody knows what these rules are. Now we have to figure it out.
So that whatever happens, we will be okay. Shit is going to happen. It's baked into the cake. In my mind, it makes more sense to focus on having enough circuit breakers built into the system so that even if it's disrupted, most people will be okay. But then, if society created that kind of system, we probably wouldn't need politicians.
I think the pandemic has really not influenced our music a lot yet. I've written a couple of songs about it.
You come to stop it all shut down. Come to stop it all shut down. It's quiet on Main Street, quiet in my town. You come to stop.
But, you know, it's just been hard to move forward. Joe and I are older, so it's harder for us to learn everything we need to learn to jump into this new way of making music. It's getting better, but, you know, it's a hard thing for us to learn to do. So the influence it's had on our art, it's pushing us in a new direction, which I think is good. But it has took the wind out of our sails. We had reached the point where our career was getting easy. It was easy for us to book ourselves and easy for us to travel. And, you know, we've done it for so many years that we weren't struggling to make a living playing music. And now we are. Now we're starting over and having to learn a whole bunch of new stuff that's just hard to do. No child to hug, no son to kiss. No child to hug, no son to kiss. And we cry out for those we miss. No child to hug, no son to kiss. It's all gone crazy.
My current practice is a combination of running an art and science collaborative I created 2 years ago, alternating with painting. In the beginning of the pandemic, I was working on paintings for the upcoming exhibition season in my two galleries. For the past 4 years, I'd been tapping into a strange new world in the paintings, inspired and driven by the climate crisis in an abstract, non-didactic way. After the pandemic hit, this series continued, but boats began showing up in the water, boats with people and animals in them, refugees, searchers yearning for a better place, a new world.
As I've said, I'm a writer, and really the pandemic didn't impact my ability to write, my inspiration for writing, my motivation to write, as much as the social unrest after the murder of George Floyd. That really impacted my mindset, my heart, my head, and how accessible this medium that had been so familiar to me in the past, just writing and being able to use writing to process my thoughts and create something productive out of tangled up emotions, suddenly writing was not working for me.
Writing and music are just fundamental to who I am. So I write every day. It's part of what I call good spiritual hygiene. So I've been very, very prolific during this time period, and I often think back to Sir Vaughan Williams and that time period in World War I when he wrote like Lark's Ascending. I think that sometimes out of really devastating things, sadly, a great artist born.
So this is called After Raven Stole the Light. 1. Eagle didn't bother Raven anymore. The old man was too tired to fight. Raven stole the sun, the moon, the stars. Eagle carried prayers. 2. On a dark winter day, when the last gasp of a storm whistled up the night sky, Raven unleashed light. Through mystery and mischief, spring was born.
Whatever I was writing was absolutely angry and just furious, and it was not material that I would have wanted to put into the world. And so really wrangling with writing for about a month finally is what led me to just say, you know what, stop fighting this. You are a creative. At your heart, you are an artist, you are a creative. Writing is one component of what you do. Stop fighting this, move on to something else.
I think we're in a very trying time, and I think that for us to come together, the entire of humanity, as brothers and sisters, the better. I think that we have that opportunity now, and hopefully we can make this a world sort of like a phoenix blossoming out of stuff that just needs to be left behind.
Three. Raven. Fat as night, sat atop the world tree. He shook his wings to settle and roost. Light shot from his feathers, spreading stars across the blanket of night. 4. Bear and coyote stumbled down the streets of Machias. They were drunk, singing old songs in a tongue not even the tribes could understand. The earth smelled of musk from seeds long forgotten on Appaloosa fields. The telephone wires buzzed and hummed, launching another refrain as lights spilled from the lip of the ocean. Raven flew with a broad smile.
And it has really changed the way I think about art. I'm really finding it joyful again, and intellectually engaging, emotionally engaging in a way that feels good and right to be able to create art differently right now. And that is a creative risk that I would not have taken had it not been for the pandemic inspiring me, but also in a way very much forcing me to reimagine who I am as an artist.
Music and art itself is continuing to provide most, if not all, the valuable functions it always has in my life, namely a reliable mode for inner expression. So that brings its own brand of peace and authenticity during a time in which things are fluctuating or remaining uncertain.
I live in Maryville, Tennessee, and I'm a mixed media fiber artist. As always, my art is my lifeline. Being in my studio is my happy place. And anytime that I have issues and depression, sorrow, anxiety, I go to my studio and I start creating, and that will lead me to feeling better in short order.
I'm a visual artist, so I think with the chaos and the uncertainty of the pandemic, I've been working with a lot of symmetry and balance and joy.
Whenever there's a big traumatic event or a big historical thing that happens, you know, the art rebounds, it reacts to that, and the ripple effect of how people deal with that trauma or those big societal shift kind of things. So we'll be experiencing that for years to come, which, you know, I mean, that's what art does, is it shows us who we are.
I think it's a great gift that we were given as humans, the ability to make marks and use tools to visually iterate what it is to be human.
I miss people. I miss performance. I miss actually engaging with real people in real time.
What I miss the most, the people, the people. You meet so many good people on the road, and the kindness of strangers. I miss that, and I miss it because being at home all the time, you spend too much time on social media, which is so negative, and it can overwhelm you. And when you're on the road traveling, you are meeting new people every day, and you realize most of them are so good.
You know, I miss open studio. I miss looking up forward to open studio and cleaning my studio and organizing it, selling my work. I love to sell my work to people who come in and appreciate what I'm doing. And I love talking about it. So I miss that. I miss that very much.
I miss some structured work, but at the same time, it's been nice to just kind of be on almost a more animal type schedule, just sleep when I'm tired and eat when I'm hungry and play music when I'm ready, edit on my films when I'm inspired, and not really being on anyone's schedule.
I am personally missing out on being a part of the orchestral instrumentation, first and foremost. I think a lot of people might presume that being an artist merely implies being a fiercely individualistic person or a creative person. There is some of that, to be sure, but it is not exempt from being a part of something larger than just your localized self, and the orchestra is perhaps the greatest embodiment of that sentiment. It would be in my mind, and it can't really be replaced.
listening, being out in the community, engaging with other artists, both visual and performing. That was my life. That was all of my social life. And at this point, it's all been taken away. And I really do miss that.
I'm missing my colleagues the most. I mean, you kind of don't know what you got till it's gone. I mean, that classic saying, but not being able to just be around my colleagues and have that musical connection. I call it getting dirty, you know, getting down, getting dirty with your fellow artists and being creative and getting down and just making stuff. And we, you know, have to be very, very careful about that right now.
The thrill of getting nervous for a performance and playing well for people, you know, to put that into words, like you just, that feeling, that's, I guess, why we do what we do, you know. It's a discipline to learn your instrument, your music, your part really well, and then to pull it off, you know. You sit back and you just have that inward smile to yourself that I did this, I did it. I got through something that was hard, and the people liked it. The audience enjoyed it.
I miss the connection to an audience, to other people in the room who get you, who see you, and you see them. Being together in that shared experience as a live event, it feels like home. It is the closest thing to home that I feel, is when I'm on a stage and I can look at a person in the eyes and say, I'm here, I'm with you, and you're with me, and we're gonna get through this crazy thing called life together.
I'd like to say a huge thank you to Carl Ann, Deke, Tim, Monica, Jason, Aqui, Gardner, Jennifer, Bailey, Tainter, Anna, and Vicky, whose voices are coming to you from Florida, Colorado, Maine, Iowa, New York, Oregon, Tennessee, New Hampshire, and Arkansas. I'd also like to thank all the artists who let me use their music and performances in this piece. I really appreciate it. Special thanks goes to Jill and Carol. For more information about any of the artists you heard here, visit the show notes. You can find them at transmissiontimes.libsyn.com. That's transmissiontimes.libsyn.com. Since the beginning of lockdown, the Transmission Times has been collecting audio diaries from people around the world. But there are many stories we haven't heard, and if yours is one of them, we would love to hear from you. Right now, we're looking for people of all faiths to answer the following question. What role has your faith played during this pandemic? You can send us your replies in one of two ways. Record on your smartphone and email it to transmissiontimes@gmail.com or call 847-354-4163 and leave a voicemail. Thank you. The Transmission Times is created by me, Katie Semro.